Welcome back, church family, to this episode of the Deeper Podcast, where we're going to be starting a new series titled Messy Church and looking at 1st and 2nd Corinthians and answering the big idea of if we do not stand together, we will fall apart. And for this conversation, we've got Bill Horn. Bill, welcome. Glad you're back.
Thanks, man. Good to be back. I love doing this.
And then Amy Weatherford. Amy, welcome.
Thanks.
Well, as a church staff, we do something on every fifth Tuesday where we go and do something fun as a staff. And people listening to the podcast may not know what that time kind of looks like. So what did this fifth Tuesday look like, and why do we do that as a team?
We played pickleball and had pizza.
Yeah, it was super fun.
It was fun.
And we also had some mamas with littles. So mm-hmm. We entertained littles, and those mamas got to play some cards.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
We got some card playing and pickleball and pizza. So.
And some snuggles from little Noah and other Liam's son and other kids. So
yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun every time that fifth Tuesday rolls around that we do something fun and just great as a team to enjoy time together.
It's also fun to see like who becomes really competitive when we start playing games and who just doesn't really care.
And I only saw sometimes one of our coworkers limping afterwards.
Oh, wait, that's good. Who was that? Who is
Lorraine.
That?
Lorraine.
Lorraine? Oh, really?
So I know
she dived for a ball.
Okay. Oh, she did. She sacrificed the body. She's the only one who.
So I heard
went for
she
it.
Strained her Achilles. Was it from that or a separate time? Like she's in a
I
boot
don't
now.
Know. It,
I know.
I'm thinking it was from Fifth Tuesday.
So yes. I played. So she was my partner the very first game, and she. I don't think she'd ever really played pickleball.
No, she.
And
hadn't.
She loved it. Yeah, by the end, she was like, "This is great. I can't,
now
can't wait
check
to play
to
more."
See how she was after that
I
game.
I know exactly.
Yeah, I was. She was. That was. The game I was in, she was on my team, so I feel bad because
really
I
matters about
she went
who you
for it.
Play with, you know.
Yeah,
nice.
I really enjoyed playing with Margaret. Margaret's on our facilities team, and she was my partner for some of the last games. And man,
she's a little bit of a sleeper. Yeah,
when we have done,
and she's got a competitive streak in her too.
I like
she's good.
When we did bowling, she was really good. I was on a team with her. Axe throwing, she owned it. Like
no kidding. Okay,
watch out for Margaret.
Okay. Yeah. I will. All right. Well, today we're going to jump into our new series titled Messy Church. And we're going to be just beginning a conversation of what does this look like in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And the big idea is going to be all talking about how are we unified in Christ. And so there's just so many things that divided the Corinthian church, mm-hmm. and so much that divides us today. And when we talk about having unity in Christ and unity in the church, I mean, there's several different levels this applies to. It applies to how, Amy, are you and I unified in Christ and keeping him the main thing and not allowing quarrels to come between us? But also as we're a part of fellowship, our church family, mm-hmm. how are we not allowing things to divide us that aren't the main thing, that aren't being unified in Christ? And so how are we not allowing just quarrels and division happen within this church body? But then also the capital C church, like the big church, how are we being unified as, you know, Fellowship Bible Church with other local churches in Topeka or even churches within our country or churches around the world? So there's a lot of different implications and spheres that this invites us into. Mm-hmm. And as Joe's going to talk about, we're going to go through a fast pace through 1 Corinthians. So we're going to begin the conversation today and we're going to hit on as much as we can, but we may not be able to hit on everything, which is why I like that there's added resources and tools that people can access. Bill, how can people access some more of those tools for Bible Project?
Yeah,
and other
so
things.
This weekend, starting this weekend, we should have a QR code on the worship guide, and I'm not sure how we're going to do it from the digital notes through the app, but we'll have a means there, I think, as well to get to it. But basically, it'll send you to a link tree, a page with all the links for all the different resources that we have.
Great.
Just kind of additional things. So Joe talked about it, talks about it in his message, but we have constables kind of preaching notes, preaching through all the 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He was a DTS professor that Joe had and thought highly of. And we also have kind of some video resources and a link to this podcast. And then also we are going to link to the last time we went through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, mm-hmm. and we spent a little more time, did a little slower walk through all of it. So we're going to have all of those kind of gathered together. Excellent. To go back and watch
great
previous messages.
Well, thanks
about
for
that.
Helping curate all those resources.
Yeah, it'll be good.
It's excellent. Well, here we go. Here's our first question. And I like this first question because it starts us off on a positive note. And I'm a positive person.
You are a positive person.
The first
Jeremy.
Question is, where have you seen or experienced unity within the church? You know, 1 Corinthians gives a lot of negative examples. I'm sure we can think of negative things, but where have we seen this look really beautiful and really well? What does that look like for you guys?
A recent picture, I think, was when we did the Rescue Mission benefit worship night. Mm-hmm. And Grace Point and TBC, their worship teams joined us for that night. And we kind of all three led that evening together. And it just, the stuff that people didn't see, which was probably my favorite part, was actually dinner beforehand. And so we got dinner for all the worship teams and we were all hanging out together. And it was funny to see all the guitar players got together at a table and they were chatting about stuff, and all the keyboard players kind of gathered up and we're just kind of, because they had that in common, and then just started talking. And so it was just neat to see all of the groups just kind of split up and kind of intermingle and just hang out and spend time together and really get to know one another. And, you know, I met members of other teams that I hadn't met before. So the area worship leaders, we try to get together once a month. You know, several of us, I try to invite more and more to it every time I can. So it's just neat to kind of, that's kind of an outgrowth of that and kind of expanding to our teams a little bit. And I think that with the teams themselves, you know, that kind of just helps to unify us together and help us see we're all on the same team trying to accomplish the same thing, just in different contexts. And we can encourage one another, support one another, you know, share our ideas and whatnot, share what's working for us, things like that. So that's basically what happens in that worship leader lunch that we have. We talk about kind of what we're working on, what's working, what's not working, challenges we're facing. And then, you know, the other guys and girls in the room can kind of chime in and help out and support each other. So it's been really cool.
That is really cool.
And it kind of goes beyond those walls. You know, Connor from Countryside, you know, he's helped out with like Jack Hishma at Northland. He's helped him with some stuff that they do that like I don't have any knowledge of. If Connor does that kind of stuff, a certain kind of thing.
Sure.
You know, and so he's able to share some of his resources with Jack, and it just kind of, it spreads far beyond the walls of that meeting, which is great. So I love it.
Cool.
So
Amy, what about you?
Yeah. So I'm part of, with Doxazo, one of the things they have is a children's discipleship network, which literally gets all of the children's directors, pastors in the town together in Topeka. And then they have the youth discipleship network. And so as I have transitioned out of being in student ministry, one of the cool things I'm getting to do is like kind of help be a mentor and guide to those in that. And so in February, we did a 24-hour retreat for local youth leaders and their spouses.
Cool.
And it was fun to, even in breakout groups, like getting to meet with these wives who are serving alongside their husbands and stuff. So 2 weeks later, we go to the Young Life benefit here. And it's so fun to see all these local youth pastors and leaders and their wives. And it's like, we're all giving each other hugs. And it's like, it's just, it has created community. Mm-hmm. And so some of the wives now are all getting together that never knew each other before this.
Yeah, that's
but
cool.
Now they have this shared purpose and shared experience and stuff. So it has been really cool to see that. And then I just laugh. I'm from a family of 10 kids and I have three sisters who one lives in Holton and two here in Topeka, and we're all in different churches. And it's so fun to just hear what God's doing in different churches and even like just at family functions and getting to meet, hanging out with different leadership and churches because they're mutual friends of sisters or brother-in-laws. I'm like, how cool is this? Like, I just get to enjoy the, you know, Tuesday night watching the sky with different leaders of churches and getting to be like, this is just a picture of the church being in fellowship. We don't have to be at the same local body, but we're serving and loving and following the same Christ. So it's cool.
We just did the Let's Talk series recently where we had, was it seven churches? Six?
It was seven.
Okay. Yeah. Seven churches.
At least seven.
At least seven that all did the same series together and all had a little different philosophy to it, but the same heart and the same unity of how they do that. I also really love in the kind of the outreach world, being able to see different initiatives that we're a part of or partnering with other churches. ShareFest being the main one, right? So you had 22 churches registered, but 31 churches represented the day of serving all across the city, everyone's wearing a ShareFest shirt. They're not wearing their own unique church's, mm-hmm. you know, logo and that type of thing. And it's the church serving the community, no strings attached, and no one church in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Things like Back to School Bash or United for a Successful School Year, helping with backpacks and that type of thing. But I also think about internationally. I love when I get to go to India and I help lead kind of a pastor's conference type thing there. And you have in India all these different languages. And so you had people, most of them, English was the link language, mm-hmm. but they all had their own unique dialect. So it was just fascinating to hear them as they would speak in their own language and share and give updates and stories, just seeing people from a totally different country from me, but even within the country, all these different states within India, sharing about what God is doing mm-hmm. in all their different places and their unique ministries of how they do ministry in their places. It's just cool. When we are unified, you feel the joy that we mm-hmm. talked about in the last series.
Yeah, I think that's a key to this whole conversation, just that image. And I think it's easier for some reason to experience globally, like when you travel, because there is a language barrier, there are other things that kind of just make, the words, words kind of become a lesser part of the thing. And your love is the thing that really mm-hmm. kind of, and your bond in Christ is the yep. thing that really draws you together yep. and creates that fellowship yep. because there's nothing else to kind of hang your hat on in those contexts. And so I was talking with someone about this a week or two ago, just the experience of how quickly, it was Keelan. We were talking about her trip to India mm-hmm. and just how quickly that bond forms and your love becomes so deep, so quick for these people that you just met, but they're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's the thing that's uniting you together.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much. And that lasts. It's not just this momentary thing, so for my friends in Santiago, Isabella, and around Manila as well. Just like there is a long-term bond. Churches that I've visited in Brazil and Santarém, those are still friends of mine. I still communicate with many of them and still have that bond because of Christ. And so it's just when words fail, we still, Christ is the thing that unites us together. And I think, mm-hmm. That's part of the challenge we have here is we tend to get caught up in other things rather than the bond of Christ. And I think that's part of where Joe's going this weekend is that's got to be the thing that does draw us together, the thing that we keep coming back to, the thing that we boast in. That's the thing that brings us under the one head, Jesus. And so,
yeah, even as you were saying that, for my teen years, going to Monterrey, Mexico, and working with a church there, Cristo Viene, and Ceci is this gal that was a kid in my VBS. And then as she got older, she was an interpreter. And then later, as my younger sisters went on the trip, they're lifelong friends. And so it's like they're Marco Poloing every day. And it's just this friendship. She just happens to be in Monterey and mm-hmm. flew back to do people's wedding pictures and different stuff. But it's like, yeah, these are she's just another sister to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because all the other stuff that we can get caught up in is removed when you're just the common bond is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the flip side of it. So there's a reason Paul wrote this letter, and there's a reason that we don't always feel that joy of the unity, mm-hmm. and we feel some of the tension of the quarreling. So how do you see division leaking into the church today, kind of given the culture that we live in, given our political landscape, all those mm-hmm. different things? Where do we see division leaking into the church?
Well, I think that, politically, that's a big one, and that's kind of the, news of the day kind of thing. That's... I think that divides everybody, not just the church, but we just tend to fall into the world's pattern and let that leak into the church as well, that we just kind of follow the world's way and confuse our identity with a political party mm-hmm. with our Christian identity, and those things are not the same. So I think that's a big one. I think doctrinally, and there's some legitimacy to that, and because there are churches that aren't preaching the gospel, they're preaching another gospel. And Paul would divide from them, Paul would call them anathema. So, I think there's an aspect to that, but I think we have to be careful, kind of what are the hills that we're willing to die on mm-hmm. and hills that we're not willing to die on. And for each of us, that might be a little different, but if we can agree about who Christ is, what he has done, the key things, the shouts of scriptures, as we talk about it here at Fellowship, if we can agree on those things, I think we can have fellowship with one another. A great picture for me of this, and I hadn't thought about this beforehand, but my first kind of ministry job, so to speak, was, it's kind of like an internship, but my best friend in high school, Nate Sheffield, his dad, Phil, is a pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church, which is an independent Baptist church in Northport, Florida. And they do a free summer camp every summer, 10 weeks. They offer it to any parent of multiple kids. So the kids can just come for free. All they have to do is pay for field trips and things like that. But they don't have to do the field trips. So, but it basically just makes it affordable and parents able to keep working. And so they needed a counselor. And so Nate said, hey, why don't you come be a lead counselor? And so I was in a Christian rock band and all these things. And Phil is very conservative, independent, fundamental Baptist church, King James only. There's no such thing as Christian rock, you know, no drums on the stage, all of that stuff. I mean, it's very opposite in terms of a lot of philosophy stuff. And so I was a little worried about how the interview was going to go. And I went and sat down in his office, you know, and he's like, all right, tell me the gospel. And so I went through the gospel. He's like, all right, we can do this together. And that was it. That was the interview. I was like, that's it. And so we had lots of conversations over the several summers that I worked for him as a counselor. I did all the music for the chapels and things like that. And, you know, eventually he started coming around on the drums, you know, like, yeah. But we had lots of conversations about music, about the Word of God, you know, all of those things. But we were still able to do ministry together because we shared the unity of the gospel together. And the other stuff we viewed rightly as not essential to our fellowship.
Yeah.
And I think that that was one of the best pictures I've ever had about, like, love and Christ uniting us. And, man, it was just such a cool picture for me to see him do that.
Oh, that's great. So you brought up the politics, and I think that is definitely a hot button issue. The person that I've loved reading about that's helped me have some insight in this is Tim Keller. Mm-hmm. And so I love how he talks about, you know, as the church, well, we should be united around. So we talked about having the heart of Christ, and Joe walks through that. But when practically, what does this look like? Being united as the church, we should care about the poor and the marginalized. We should care about diversity within the church, you know, Jew, Greek, slave, free, all these types of things. We should make that a priority. We should care about sanctity of human life. We should care about having a pure sexual ethic within how we live and model. And then civility, just how we love and treat one another. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the political parties that we have, no one of them embody all of those.
No.
And so that's where, when we get into politics, it just gets, it gets challenging, where some parties emphasize some of those differently. I would argue neither emphasize civility, and they're lacking in both of those. And so that's where it can be challenging to give so much emphasis to one candidate, party, or something, because they may embody some of the things the church should be a part of. But it doesn't seem to me like they embody all the things that we should be about of. So we can be engaged. We should be engaged into our political process and engaged in our community and our neighbors, all these things. But the things that we should be united around as a church and be the non-negotiables are the things that Joe talks about of who we have in Christ. And then some of those key things that Keller talks about.
Yeah. I mean, our identity should not be wrapped up and singularly identified with anything besides Christ.
That's right.
Like, no one accurately represents who Christ is except him. And we follow him. We fall underneath his leadership. And that will lead us. I mean, there'll be people who are alongside that at some points. And then those same people will diverge from that path at other points. And we need to have discernment to know, like, the difference, you know, that this is not, they're not in this for Christ. You know, so the political leaders, most of them are not doing this for the sake of the gospel. You know what I mean? Or doing what they're doing.
There are believers in there.
There are believers in there. Yeah, again, but like that, but they,
and God uses all of them.
Right. The parties as a whole, like neither, none of them completely represent the truth of the gospel. And so I think that's a very key thing for us to remember, you know, just to know the difference. I guess that's the problem, because we can kind of take the all or nothing, and it's more nuanced than that. There are parts where it's like, yes, they're in agreement with what the gospel teaches about this. And then other times, like, nope, that's not what the gospel teaches about this. And I'm not going to agree with you there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to navigate that as I vote, as I am involved in the process, like, to try to find my way through it. Because it's just not, it's not neat and tidy, unfortunately.
It's not.
No, so that's part of the challenge.
That goes back to any of it. Like, why the church is messy. Why it's messy just being in relationship and fellowship or community is our identities, even in the silliest things. It could be down to sports teams. It can be down to, I mean, we make something so much more.
There are quarrels in the office about KUK State, you know.
And we pray for you all.
Yeah.
Who wear less purple. But I mean, but we do, we joke about it, but deep down what's sad is you can watch a game and literally feel anger boiling in you over something that has no value spiritually. Yeah. But then I think about when I think about just our culture and our world, everything is about defining who I am and my identity and my truth and my, like, whatever it is. And it can be over big things or it can be really small things. So we can get divided over politics, but also we can get bent out of shape on preference or, like, I mean, let's be honest. There are times where I'm like, wait, you're reading from what translation? Or, like, I mean, it's silly, but like, we can worship styles. We can, like, if you want to see conflict in a church, you take away a traditional worship style and make it, like, there has been division in the church over things that in the reality, I'm like, oh, it's so not significant compared to the gospel.
I mean, there are churches that are split over a carpet color. I mean, let's be honest.
For real. So, and just, I mean, even in simple things as preferences or losing sight of my purpose or my calling, if I make it about who I am, not Sunday or Saturday when I am with fellow believers focused on the gospel and my true identity in Christ and my purpose is to know him and to make him known, but I'm making it about who my other things that may describe me or my other callings or jobs or whatever. Anytime we lose sight of the main thing, it's going to cause division. It's going to cause, even we just talked on conflict and those things. It just comes when we lose sight of who we are. And whenever we think that we have the better way or we have this, or like, it just creates this us versus them. When in reality, the things that the Lord has had to remove from me is sports or politics or some of these things, because I couldn't love my neighbor well, but I couldn't even love my brothers and sisters well in Christ because I'm letting these silly things that eternally don't matter get in the way of what really does. So I'm constantly convicted how little things that should not matter get in the way.
Well, and it's just kind of this whole idea of curating our own identity for everybody to see, you know, the social media has really fostered that kind of mentality of like, what are the things I want to be known about me? And so that kind of comes back to this question that we talked about in the run through is like, what do I want to be known by? You know, what do I want to be known for? And as Christians, the answer to that should be, we ought to be known by Christ and by his way, his name, his glory, his honor. That should be the thing that defines our lives, that we are under him and that he is our boast. He is our confidence. But like you said, we tend to, you know, hang our hat on certain things. I was just thinking the father-son camp out is tomorrow night and, you know, there's kind of a joke from previous campouts where I was bashing people for using a torch to start a fire, where I'm more of a, you know, ferrocerium rod, started with a scraper and a spark, you know, and start a fire that way, which is the right way to do it, by the way. You know, but just like, you know, that's one of the things that kind of became a thing I was known for. And like Scott May, who used to work here, said Bill could start a fire with a squirrel, which I don't really know what that means. But, you know, but that was kind of a thing that I would hang my hat on for a while, you know. And it's like, this is a silly, again, it's one of those silly examples, but it's like having grace for people doing things differently than you and things that don't matter. You know, it's like, yeah, whatever. Go ahead. You can start a fire however you want. A lighter's fine.
But, talking about community groups, I mean, you can get been out of shape and divided over, you know, we need to be doing Bible studies. We need to be doing just hangouts. So we need to spend more time or less time just how people oversharing, undersharing. There's just a lot of things that can cause quarrels, that can cause feelings and concerns. Yeah. And so how do we have good conversation over some of these things to help say, hey, you know what? We are here to grow deeper in our walk with Jesus. And so what does this need to look like? How can we have a balance of being God's word and relationship? And how can we encourage those people to share more that aren't sharing? Or how do we lovingly have a conversation with someone that maybe is oversharing? Like, how do we have helpful conversations in this?
No comment.
Over, under, wait, how do we, I don't, you know, whatever it is.
No, I think like fit is a thing. I was talking with a young leader somewhere. He's working with a church, and just sometimes fit is a thing. And that doesn't mean it's like we're not unified over the gospel, but sometimes practically things don't work. And that's why there are different denominations. That's why there are different congregations. Sometimes there's just, we have a difference in philosophy, and it's not like, I don't love you anymore. It's just like, we're just going to be frustrated trying to work alongside one another. So closely, we do need to work alongside one another as part of the larger body of Christ
together. Different philosophies connect with different people.
Right. And so we need all of the gospel-believing churches in Topeka, you know, to be doing things the way that they do things in order to reach the people that they can reach. That's I think, what Paul was getting at with the I become all things to all people. It's not across the board, but he's talking, you know, like without limits. It's the idea
of, you're not compromising the gospel.
Right. It's like, I am taking away the hindrances that people might experience with the gospel. So people who are very law-centered, you know, the Jews who are coming in, I'm going to operate within the bounds of the law for their sake so that they don't get tripped up by my freedom and the grace that I'm living under. And those who are coming from the Gentile culture, I'm not going to throw a bunch of law at them and make that a stumbling block for them for the gospel. I'm going to bring them along slowly and, you know, preach Christ only, you know, and like let them slowly come along and see where God leads them in that. So it's the same thing with like different church philosophies. I think there's, you know, different people coming from different contexts who need different things, you know, more structure, less structure, all those things, you know, different kinds of music, because music's like a language and people have different languages that they speak or relate to or connect with. And all of that stuff is, you know, unique to the individual sometimes, but, you know, we can unite as the larger church, like you talked about at the beginning, the Big C Church, around the fact that we are all on the same team trying to advance the gospel together in Topeka. You know, I heard a pastor one time talk about, like, we can fight over the last lost person in town, you know, just...
that's who we'll fight over. But until then, there's plenty
of work to be done. So we'll fight over that one when it comes to that.
Here's our final question. And we've kind of already discussed this, but for those of you that are listening, whether you're in a community group or you're in your car with a, you know, spouse, whatever, I want you to really wrestle with this question. Mm-hmm. So this question is, what has been your tendency to be divided over? What has been your tendency to be divided over? And I want you to just listen to the spirit of, like, what is kind of that first thing that comes to your mind? Is it more within one-on-one relationship that you just see a pattern of you tend to constantly have quarrels over a certain topic or issue or a certain type of person? Or maybe there's just been a pattern of in churches that you've been in, or maybe at fellowship, that you're constantly having issues and quarrels and frustrations about a certain thing that you need to have some conversations about, or maybe it's with the Big C Church as a whole. So where has been your tendency to be divided over? And then just as a little side thing, is it worth being divided over? So do you guys have any other thoughts as people are kind of wrestling with that question as they're going through this week?
No, and I think it comes back to, like, I know I shared the example of just, like, even preferences, but even way methods that we do things, which goes back to the community groups. Like, if I think there's a better way to do something, like, I'm like, oh, I mean, I've seen some success. But then reality is, like, we see God use so many different methods, and he doesn't use the same one on each individual in scripture, and he doesn't use the same on us. And or like, I've been convicted in something, and so I feel like, oh, why aren't you convicted in this? Or, you know, but it's those things where we take God doing something personally in me and the spirit moving, and we want to have everybody fit through that same formula, and that's just not how God works.
Yeah.
So I can see that.
Because we're wired differently. We have different stories, different ways.
Callings, I mean, like, we're gifted different in so many different ways. But I just think as Bill was talking earlier about, like, in the end, what do we want to be remembered for? And I mean, just we had in March our junior senior retreat with our junior and seniors in high school. And that was one of the things that we're talking about is like, you right now are leaving a legacy. How you're living, how you interact with people, what you're about is seen in your words and actions and lifestyle. And so you're leaving a legacy. Which one do you want to leave?
Yeah.
And so I think that is what keeps me going back to, oh gosh, I am allowing the lesser things to crowd out the focus and the unity of the main thing. And so I think that for me is what I just need, that constant reminder of like, hey, big picture is that I am to be living a life that glorifies him, but then helps others experience and live in the fullness of him. And if I'm getting in the way of that because of my own pride or what I think or my preferences, like, man, I don't want to get in the way of what God's doing.
Yeah.
And so I love Ephesians 4 for that very same reason. Like we are to be, like each of us is properly functioning when we're allowed to be fully who God's made us to be in his image. And I gotta like let God do that. But the unity is what's going to win.
And we all have blind spots.
Amen.
And so this question, you might know what it is. If you're struggling, you might ask someone that knows you and loves you and cares about you to say, hey, as you look at my life and the relationships that I'm around, where does there tend to be conflict, quarrels that maybe I'm blind to my role in that?
Yeah, and it may not even be an out and out quarrel that's outside of yourself, but it might be something that you're willing to break fellowship over, you know, with other people and not extend grace in, you know, that's, and I think that's a big thing. When we don't have grace for one another, I think that's when we're most likely to, you know, to divide from others. And so,
when we forget the grace that God has given us, that unites us with him and each other, then.
Like, so doctrinally, that's probably my tendency of a reason I would break fellowship or divide from somebody else, another believer in Christ over. And again, there are, the problem is in many of these areas, there's a line, you know, and figuring out where that line is, like what is a deal breaker and what's not, you know, what is a shout of scripture and what's not, you know, there's that line at the edge of that can be a little blurry sometimes. And so, and that's probably, again, why there are a lot of denominations, because figuring out what they deem a shout of scripture versus us or whatever, you know, is where that is. And so for me, it's kind of just being a little more open-handed with the things that are secondary kind of doctrines or tertiary doctrines even, you know, and like Phil did for me, Phil Sheffield, was just, what is the gospel? Are we in agreement on who Christ is and what he has done? Then we can serve alongside one another in lots of ways. It may not be every way, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can do this together. And, you know, we can leave room for us to be a little different on the edges, you know? So.
Love it. I think we're going to wrap it up right there. Bill, would you pray for our church family and close our time in prayer?
Yeah. Lord, we thank you so much that you gave us Jesus, and that we are identified and called by him in his name, and that he himself is our peace, as you write in Ephesians, Lord, as he gave to us. And so help us to, help us to be known by you and what you've done. And may our lives be a reflection of that to the world around us. So Lord, give us unity. Help us to grow in unity as a church family here at Fellowship, and then as the broader church, both here in Topeka and then around the world. Help us to be a people who lay down our preferences, lay down our kind of secondary things that we tend to hang our hats on. Help us to lay those things aside for the sake of the gospel, that we would be united around the person and the work of Jesus. And that would be the thing that defines us. That would be the thing that we're known by, the way that we follow in your footsteps and love one another. So Lord, just work in our hearts and show us the spots where we're tempted to be divided, that aren't important, that aren't worth being divided over. And help us to lay those things down for the sake of unity and for the sake of the world seeing your church united around the gospel. Lord, let your will be done in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bill, Amy, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. And church family, thank you for listening to this episode of the Deeper Podcast. We look forward to see you all next time.